Welcome to the Silver Shield Report number 59. This one's going to be called Going Galt. But first, to give you an update on the mint, I'm actually heading down there Sunday, tomorrow or today if you're listening to it, the 13th. I'll be down there for probably about 3 or 4 days to get my hands on what's going on down there. For a while, I know that the proof blanks were the holdup, but they do now have 3 presses down there. 3 high-speed feeders, and they're still behind. So I, like you, am want to know what's going on down there. So I'm gonna going down there on my own to see what it is. But I've been assured by Rob and all the guys down there that they should be back on track as of yesterday because of the new proof blanks that were holding up the Trivium orders. Because for anybody who had a proof Trivium order, which was a lot of people, they didn't ship the BU that they did in order to save on the obviously the shipping costs. But now that it's going on to the 12th of January and there's people from December 5th who still haven't gotten their order yet, the frustration level is getting equally high everywhere. So I'm going down there myself to see what's going on. As a result, I've had to delay our special edition coins, which we're still going to do as soon as this backlog is fixed up. I got pictures of the new Freedom Girl. They've already struck a couple just to show me that they can, that the die came in. And I've told them, I said, I'm not promoting, I'm not doing anything else until every order has been fulfilled. And, that's going to provide at least a little bit more pressure from my end as best as I can do by not offering any more of these coins or publicity or anything until the backlog's handled. So like I said, I'm going down there tomorrow. I'll have an update probably Monday on what I see down there. Hopefully I'll have some video of what's the presses and all the stuff that should be going. So it should be moving pretty well over the weekend. I'm sure that the fact that I'm coming down is going to add a little bit more steam to the fire. So that's the update. But on to the Silver Shield report. The ultimate failure of any collectivized power is that it is not productive and must steal more wealth to maintain an ever-increasing complexity required to keep control. For the past decade or so, our criminal elite have plundered other nations like the wealth of Iraq or Libya. Now that it appears that they can't pull off an Iranian war, they may be forced to find that wealth at home. Over the past year or two, I've been waiting for them to pop on Iran to support the petrodollar, but perhaps since the anti-hegemon is wise to this and walking away and making it very difficult to the United States to swagger like it once did, or maybe there's pushback from military leaders not seeing the necessity of attacking Iran, or that there may be too concerned at the home base due to the next economic shock. But things have definitely changed, and it's so noticeable because Obama hasn't even been sworn in. You can just feel the shift, the eye shift from overseas to back home, and that they're going to be more effective in blue state areas than the country as a whole, I feel. So I did a couple videos with Dianne Feinstein, Rahm Emanuel, and Bloomberg. And if you guys remember for a long time how I see this post-dollar collapse scenario, I said that we're going to see massive decentralization of power, that it could either be, the local gangs in Southern California, could be, your neighbors, or if you're in, Bloomberg's territory or Emanuel's territory or any of these northern urban areas, you're going to see a fascist police state come down, and whether the people are going to accept it or not, that's what I see happening. And now that the shooters come out, you see Emanuel, Feinstein, and Bloomberg all coming out. We have to disarm, make it difficult, all that other stuff. And geez, Bloomberg, I don't know who this guy thinks he is. I mean, it's just ridiculous. He stops people from drinking soda, making it more difficult for gun laws, even suggesting that the police officers should go on strike until there's the population's disarmed. I'm not going to get into the whole gun control debate with you guys because you guys understand what's going on. But there's definitely the shift coming back home where it seems the domestic security is becoming the most important thing. on the heels of this $1 trillion coin being talked about, on the heels of Obamacare coming into effect, on the heels of the fiscal cliff being pushed back and the new taxes that are going to come along with it, the proposed regulations on the guns, now grumblings of precious metals and $1 trillion coins and debt ceilings and multi-decade low money velocity makes the shift from overseas to home very obvious. And this is really about what we, our little group, and what I suggest other people to do in the face of this. I have always known that at some point this information is going to be too dangerous or too late for us to talk about. So I figured let's get some of this out now and let's start talking about this while I have the opportunity to talk with you. This isn't stuff I'm going to be talking publicly about. But I feel that I owe it to you guys at least to see how I'm thinking, and maybe this is something you can do on your own level. So it appears to me that since they didn't pull a false flag and blame Iran and the whole three false flag scenario that I placed, it seems to me that the shift is coming back home, and maybe it's going to be a white al-Qaeda, a violent uprising, this 1776 uprising that Alex Jones is talking about. And I just posted a video 2 seconds ago called The Answer to 1984 is Not 1776. And I talk about how, there's a choice ahead of us. We can either do the violent revolution or we can do the walk away and disempower stuff. And I think that they may be pushing for this civil war because they would love to have civil war. They would love to have 50 million, gun owners or 80 million gun owners, be the new white al-Qaeda, give, a justified cause to do SWAT team raids and, do all these things to multiply their police power where they can be more overt. And with Obama doing executive orders, possibly on doing gun control, that could be the tip off that could do it. But I had a lot of people email me about the Precious Metal Purchasing Act. You've all heard the quote, the ability to tax is the ability to destroy. And that's from John Marshall, a Supreme Court justice. And prior to any action, government likes to get an idea on how best to control, regulate, tax, and destroy an industry. I've seen it in the car business where, during my grandfather's time, you could have a note card and write a whole deal on it. Now, there's multiple contracts, disclosures, statements, and they're packets now going in there. And it's not because that, it's for the consumer to be benefited from. It's because there's extra layers of bureaucracy that need to be fed. And that's inevitably what happens to any collectivized power, that they have to become more and more complex and eke out more and more wealth from the wealth producers. But this Illinois bill sponsored is called SB 3341. You can look it up. It's the Precious Metals Purchasing Act, in which states creates a Precious Metal Purchasing Act, provides that a person who is in the business of purchasing precious metals shall obtain proof of ownership, create a record of sale, and verify the identity of the seller. So this is a way of creating a paper trail. It goes on to say that a person who is in the business of purchasing precious metals shall not pay for precious metal in cash and shall record the payment method. Again, now they don't want the cash involved because they would like to have it electronic so it's easier for them to monitor and eventually tax. It requires the purchaser to keep a record of the sale for 1 year if the purchase is over $500, and if the purchase is over $500 for 5 years. So, of course, with the prices that are going up, now these small mom-and-pop business owners have to now keep records of every transaction that they do up to 5 years, and provides that a person who violates the act is guilty of a petty offense and subject to a fine not exceeding $500. That's pretty good, considering it's not jail time and, $20,000. But it goes on to finish off that it provides that the Attorney General may inspect records, investigate an alleged violation, and take action to collect civil penalties, which is where the real power is going to come in. But this is a quick step to taxing and, more importantly, tracking who has precious metals. And this is on the heels of the Obama administration saying that they're going to regulate our right to keep and bear arms. So the two big issues that they that are coming out right after the election, prior to any financial collapse, is precious metal and guns. Wow. You know, but this is like the insane financial hole that these guys have created. This is not going to stop here. So here's what I see happening. Precious metals and guns in urban areas or in the blue state dominated area will continue to be clamped down, and those that cannot move are going to suffer. If you are in these blue state urban areas, get out. Especially if you're in the business of guns or precious metals in that area, you're basically being targeted to be shut out of business or have such incredible liabilities if you violate or be set up or whatever. I think the place that sold Adam Lanza's mom her gun was raided almost immediately after there, and you know, it's not even like you know that they did anything wrong. And what will end up happening in those urban areas are in the blue state areas is that wealth and guns, precious metals, are going to be harder to get and become massively more expensive. You're going to probably see a black market for this type stuff. And you're not going to see people that are in the business of doing this anymore. I mean, you could see a lot of these guys say, you know what, I'm closing up shop and maybe I'll just do it on Craigslist or, you know, work with myself or, you know, work on a personal level. Either way, the cost is going to become more expensive because the risk is going up, and that's what happens in any of these things. I'm not saying it's going to happen immediately, but this is something that I could see becoming more progressive. The ability for people to defend themselves will be limited, not from the people's level, but from the business level. The reason why this is because business owners have something to lose. Look at Bank of America freezing the account of America's Spirit Arms, allegedly for their belief that they should not be selling guns online. When you have something to lose, they have control over you. Look at the doctors. This progressive gradualism of encroachment of bureaucracy has destroyed these doctors' business and made it unprofitable. And now that Obamacare is in place, I don't know why any doctor, unless they're in ridiculous debt, doesn't retire this year and just be done with it. Cause a doctor drought. Walk away from the system. That's what needs to happen in order for the system to fail and ultimately capitulate to those that do produce wealth. And it wasn't so long ago that there was direct payment for service between patient and doctor. And now look at the ridiculous levels of bureaucracy that they now have. And then throw Obamacare on top of it. If it wasn't bad enough for the insurance companies to be in there, throw the government on top of it into this, I think, it takes up 1/8 of the United States economy is the healthcare business. And if you're in the business that's coming under more scrutiny, you have a choice to either do the slow burn into the collapse, knowing what the inevitable end in, or you have the choice of moving out of the state, the area, the industry, and move on to something new. And I want to encourage, that's what this is all about, encouraging people to take a hard look at what they're doing, where they are, how they earn their money, where their life is going, and start making those moves to get out of that and move on. And I'm really the only person that I know that has consciously done this and kind of roadmapped this, but that's what this one is all about by going Galt. The move to the police state will just be the natural progression of the indoctrinated slaves wanting protection and the psychological and the psychopath wanting to control. When it is a symbiotic relationship, it would be natural, maybe sustainable, but there's a third party in the equation, and that is the problem solvers, the logical thinkers, the wealth creators. These are the ones that create wealth against all odds just to eke out a living. In fact, I know so many business owners that are making less than their employees, and they stay because of what? Two reasons that I see, debt or ego. So besides the declining financial return on investment, staying there also has a tremendous psychological toll that will become even more difficult when this economy collapses. The other day I had an email from one of our members, and he said, I've emailed you 2 times before, and I try very hard to make it quick. I know you're a popular guy, but I actually drove myself to the hospital last night for something that I never had before, massive panic attacks and a minor chest discomfort. To pass the time and sitting there for 3 hours in the waiting room, I whipped out my iPhone and SGT's website was already up, and your interview with him was just so relevant that I was going through it that it actually made me break down several times while listening to it in my earbuds. Number one, I have complained to you about wanting to leave my job because it's getting the best of me. I work for a utility in Southern Ohio, and over the past 9 months, there has been a sudden increase in state and federal money and top-down pressure to get high-performance proprietary fiber optics interconnecting municipalities and cell phone and cell towers. The same has been true for Smart Grid Smart Metering Initiative, and I've been working for 11 years and can't remember the last time the feds have been so involved in our infrastructure. Even though I find out upper management knew about this 6 months in advance, my cohorts and I find ourselves understaffed, being buried under impossible deadlines and mopping up any of the problems that are created by the frenzy caused by this governmental cash. You know, again, making this control grid, again, another domestic policy. I'm a design engineer not far removed from knowing exactly what is going on, a control grid, he goes on to say. I find it very hard to deal with the volume of work, the moral dilemma of being an accessory of an installation of a control grid, and I will not be able to support my family if I leave and find something more enriching. So I wrote back, I said, massive attacks like this are your body screaming that you need to change your life. Sooner you listen to it, the better. The more you listen to it, the farther you go in life. Your health and soul are not worth any price that paycheck pays. Both of your questions have the same answer. Walk your path in peace. And the second question he had was the same one I always get. How do you get your wife to kind of go along with this? Both of your questions have the same answer. Walk your path in peace and people will follow. It is not for the wife to protect the family. It's up to you. You are aware. The more that I'm right with my wife, the more she lets me do what I want. The cognitive dissonance that you are experiencing, knowing the truth and enabling the collective, is not one that many can balance. Some, like many of the that are in the military, simply quit knowing what they know now. Others are able to contain it in two lives, a wage slave at work and an evolutionary at home. I got to imagine that what you do is a very specialized job and that it has a bunch of high-paid consultants. Why not become one? Instead of being a wage slave, work for yourself. And you set your terms of engagement. Start it on the side as a part-time job and see where it goes. I build websites between my family and my job, and now I do this full time. Having this as even a small backup might even take the pressure that you put on yourself. You are the one responding to the ridiculous demands. Stop jumping, and you will see them wonder why you're not jumping. When they ask why, logically tell them that their goals are not practical, and their lack of planning does not constitute an emergency in your world. It is always the debt that keeps us in our cage. Soon that debt will not exist, and we will wonder why we wasted so much time in that cage. These wealth creators can literally go anywhere and create wealth. It is insane to stay in a place that does not value your wealth or support your talent. If you are in the vortex of the Northeast Coast, Chicagoland, or California, it's time to get serious about moving out and moving on. Moving out of toxic areas and moving on with your life. This week, I'd like to talk about what we're doing if tyranny comes home faster than the dollar collapse. If you're not comfortable with your life that you've been leading right now, I want to see if I can push you a little bit over the edge to make some more radical changes in your life. First, I want to tell you that this radical change is coming to you one way or the other, whether it's on your terms or on their terms. There will be no economic turnaround. There will be no return to normal. The debts have to be rolled over. Wealth must be extracted from the value producers at a greater pace. The only question is, how long are you going to put up with it? I saw in March of 2008 that things were going to take a turn for the worst. I left everything behind while they still had worth. In my case, I left millions of assets so I didn't have to get stuck with millions of debt. But even if you're not in the position that I was to give, I would like to give you a couple of reasons why you should consider making a bigger change in your life and how to do it. The biggest thing that made my change easier was knowing that there was not much more to get or to hold on to. The first shock was 9/11. I was watching the Twin Towers fall to the ground, and I was wondering how things were ever going to be the same again. And yet we sold 3 cars that day, and I wondered, and I now know why, because the normalcy bias that was ingrained in our society. And back then, the deficit was only $5 trillion, and the baby boomers were in their prime earning years, so taking on more debt to kick the can down the road was an easy solution. When 2008 came around, I started to imagine how bad things would get if the collapse came, and it was the first time that I saw the world for what it was, and I knew that it wouldn't recover like it did in 2001. In fact, from 2001 to 2008, it was a pretty good time to be in the car business, and I got out in May of 2008, and the collapse happened, obviously, in October. I did think that back in 2008 that it was going to be the end of it all, but any study of a collapse always shows that there's a bounce up before the final bounce down. And this is because those that are hit with the collapse have too much to lose and use all their energy in maintaining the status quo. And this is exactly what happened. Governments blew through their checkbook. People blew through their savings. People had retirement accounts. People had equity in their home. People had stocks that had been going up for the past decade or past 2 decades. People had savings. They had, jobs. Now that we're, almost five, it's shocking to me, we're almost 5 years past this, there is no safety net, and we burn through all of our faith in the politicians and bankers. You know, you can't tell me that we think the same about the politicians and the bankers as we did back in 2008. And all this did was delay the inevitable, the green shoots, the manipulated recovery that did not produce any real wealth or solutions. And I guarantee you the next hiccup in the economy, like year-over-year impact of the economy dealing with Obamacare and the tax cliff, and the increasingly tyrannical government at home hurting consumer confidence, will lead to the very slippery slope of collapse, and all the safety nets that we once had are gone. The only solution that you have is to start living your life to your highest and best self. So regardless of what happens in your world, you will find happiness and resonating energy to carry you through the rough times. You will first need to realize that what you're holding on to is nothing, which makes it easier to let go. These points may not be for everybody, because some people are wage slaves and other people are owners, but I feel that everybody who's still working inside this paradigm, and if you're successful in this day-to-day business, you're most likely dependent upon the debt and death paradigm. I read one story about a gentleman who was at a party, and a very attractive woman came up to him and said, hi, Rob. And he faked the conversation saying, oh, hey, how you doing? And for 5 minutes could not figure out who he was talking to, even though this very attractive woman knew who he was. And for him, it wasn't until that she left that he realized that that girl, that a very attractive woman, was a woman that he saw fired at a job that he once had, when she was an overweight, not well-kept woman, and she got fired and cried and packed everything up and left and never heard from her again. And he realized that in the conversation that she had gone on and created her own job, gained control of her life and a sense of self, and had lost weight and, taken better care of herself and was living life much better. So that's what can happen. And I'm not saying that everybody should quit their job. I'm going to give you the 4 steps, which I put on YouTube, which probably wasn't the best use of, into that audience, because I think so many people are in denial, and to hear solutions like that, kind of kicks them in the head. The first thing that we have to understand is that when the anger phase kicks off, there will officially be no middle class. No doubt about it, the middle class will be totally wiped out. There'll only be those that with or without. So it is imperative that you put your wealth in the category that has the with, and divest yourself of all paper assets with haste if you have not done so already. I mean, I think I pretty much said even at the end of last year and the year before and every other time, you should be able to get away with only having a month's worth of cash in a checking account. Storing everything else in real tangible stuff. Silver is very liquid. You can use that as your bank account. And if the silver price goes up, which really hasn't done much in the last 2 years, It makes your ability to pay debts even easier. And then if you do need to capital for the rough times, you can liquidate it and obviously, you know, use that to pay your bills. But the wonderful thing about stacking silver is that, geez, once you have it, you start to see the physical nature of it. It makes it difficult to sell it, because you're like, you start valuing everything in terms of ounces. And when you obviously view silver in terms of this once in a humanity valuation, that it's so cheap, it makes it very difficult to sell it to go to, you know, a vacation, to go out to dinner, to pay, you know, bills. It forces you to get rid of the stuff that you don't need. So like last year, I mean, I got rid of my silver Wrangler. I'm in the process of selling multiple thousands of dollars worth of Star Wars figures. You know, my comic books are next. I've like literally started to just sell every single thing that I had. I did furniture and did an arbitrage between financing new furniture and old, you know, selling the old furniture on Craigslist. And, you know, that's the kind of mentality. And that should be the way that we save. That should be the way that we value our wealth. When it's in a digital form, it's so much easier to blow through. I find that I even spend PayPal money, quicker than I do my own checking account money, because it's less real to me. So that's one of the wonderful things about, putting your capital there. There will be no return to normal. Most jobs and skills that are valued today will be as useless as buggy whip manufacturing. If you think about the economy, I think 25% of the economy is government. 70% of the private economy is consumers based. And then you think about the industries that are now dominated by government largesse, like the finance, like healthcare, like the military industrial complex. You start to wonder who is making any real wealth in this country. And chances are it's probably one of you guys that are paying for all of this, that we're all living parasitically off of this. And it's time for people to walk away. And one of the things that I think is necessary is not only bringing your nut down and living a smaller, more purposeful life, but also not being caught up with all this consumerist stuff. And it makes it easier to step away from the system. And we need you to step away. That's what John Galt was doing in Atlas Shrugged, was encouraging people to walk away from that, because that's what ultimately brought down the system, so that people that did provide value were valued and were able to start things up again. And that's essentially what we're going after. The worst part is that most of the skills that you have are not going to be very transferable. We need real people to do real things, and that will stand in stark contrast to fake people doing fake things. You know, I looked at even my entire life. I mean, in the car business, what did I do? I transacted papers and stuff. I didn't produce any real value. I created debt. Even when I worked at the real estate investment thing, it was the same thing. It was teaching people how to buy houses with debt and leverage and all that other stuff. There was no real wealth being created. I wasn't a miner. I wasn't a logger. I wasn't a fisherman. I wasn't a farmer. I wasn't a plumber. I wasn't an electrician and an engineer. These are the people that we're going to value in tremendous ways. And that's what these kind of skills that we need to look for. And it's a shame for all those kids that have now that are fake people with doing fake things with fake degrees with fake debt to boot. So we have a whole generation of kids that are just, geez, almost completely useless because they've been bought into this system. I remember my grandfather way back in the early 90s, I want to say like 92, I was probably only about 16 at the time, and I remember him saying, all we need is a good depression to snap people out of this rut. And now, 20 years later, we're going to get it. We've been very fortunate to wake up to see that the party's going to end, but we don't have to wait until the cops come to bust up the party. The rest of humanity is going to spend some time in the slammer and hitting rock bottom before they change. We don't have to do that. We have the luxury of being able to see things for what they are. Like I said, massive decentralization of power will destroy the nation state, and I believe many corporations. What will rise is individuals and local communities that get their act together. So I'm encouraged to see states like Wyoming challenging the federal government about gun laws. I'm encouraged about Utah, making gold and silver legal tender. You need to start going where legislatures like that on the local level are, taking a stand and start flexing their wings before they start flying. And I put in here a map of the electoral states, electoral count of the last election. And I'm not playing into this false left-right paradigm, but it's my belief that the collectivists are in blue, and people who think that they're individualists, maybe more neocon individualists, but people who rely in more family and faith and local solutions as opposed to collective solutions. You need to start thinking about, voting with your feet and getting out. So I'm sure most of you guys have been dealing with the question of how am I prepared to deal with the response on that way of life, having that massive decentralization of power. And the biggest problem in moving is the network of individuals. If you're, these young 20-year-old guys that are in our group, moving from one state to another is no problem. But when you're a guy, even myself, my job, I could literally go to Kuala Lumpur and, do this job. But my wife has family and connections here in Ohio. That's what makes it difficult. For many of the people that are in these urban areas, they do have family back that, live in more boring parts of the country, I'll say, and that it might not be a bad idea to either start moving out there, start becoming better friends with your family out there or the people that live out there, and start communicating and talking with these people, not just, writing emails and stuff, picking up the phone and talking to them. And, maybe opportunities will come out of that. Maybe start looking for corporations or industries that you can transfer your talents now into, maybe the energy industry or something along those lines. So if you're in retail or advertising or something that's going to be completely useless in the next paradigm, at least get into an industry that still needs those talents. We'll probably fare a lot better than, the whole advertising area or whatever, job that you're in. There's also another thing for business owners. There's nothing wrong with you selling your business and going to work for your business. You can have employee buyouts. You can sell to your competitor and maybe even work as an employer, as an employee, or if, negotiate a contract where you spend 2 years there as a salaried advisor or something like that. That's a way of you getting out and still having your cake and eat it too. It may allow you to get out and move on. But these are things that, I wish people were a little bit more adamant about doing, because I think that this is a huge factor in holding people back from living a much better life. Another reason why to move on is that money that you're working for does not bring you more happiness. If you get your life in perspective about what you really need in life versus the perception of need, and get a smaller nut, you'll find that you need less and that you can get rid of your scarcity mentality. And I've said this before, the only happiness that you'll find in your life is the day that you get rid of your scarcity mentality, where you can provide for your friends and family in the way that you wish without fearing anything. And the only other happiness you'll ever find in your life is helping someone else to get to that exact same level. There's a quote that I had on the back of my car, on my silver Jeep, that said, and this is the day that I left my family business. It was just weird that I had this sticker sitting there and I never put it on. But I bought my Jeep the day that I left, and I put the sticker on it. It said, "I prefer dangerous freedom over peaceful slavery." And that line really, now it's Thomas Jefferson, that line really carried me through a lot of difficult times, because I do prefer dangerous freedom over peaceful slavery. And I think that's what we all need to decide. Am I embracing my peaceful slavery because I can right now and it's easy to do? Or do I really need to start encouraging myself to start stepping out into that uncomfortable, quote unquote, dangerous freedom out there? If you're responsible for yourself, then if you're not responsible for yourself, then you are inherently at the mercy of others. And my experience is the average person does not consciously live their lives, and they're completely oblivious to the dangers. You can be a subcontractor, maybe in the same field, and have equal footing with an employer. So like we were talking about the gentleman who's works for the utility company. There may be an opportunity for him to be a subcontractor instead of being the slave that's demanded more jobs and more work and higher things. Maybe he could be a consultant that ends up fixing the job, because the only people that are left on the utility job are the people without any sense to leave, to realize their value, to realize that it's not worth it, and that the consultants end up coming in and they get paid five times more than what they would do just doing a regular job. It's sort of like the military contractors. I mean, now that I know what I know now, and if I wanted to do that type of life, I would never have gone into the Marines. Or if I did, you know, done a shorter contract and then gone right into the military contractors to become a hired gun, because they make, geez, starting $150,000 tax-free for, I don't know, 6 to 9 months worth of work. And you look at how little that the average soldier makes, average Marine makes, and after taxes, and then the amount of hours that they work. I mean, it's like slave labor. I mean, they're on all the time, and you get paid nothing. In fact, if you're a problem solver, you should be able to be a subcontractor and start your own LLC. That's another benefit of getting out on your own. Yeah, you may not have health insurance. I've lived without health insurance for probably about 4 years now. But the benefits of having your own LLC and being able to write off money, pre-tax spend money. I give the example of a computer. If you're an employee, in order for you to buy a $2,000 computer, you probably have to earn about $2,600 in salary, and to get after-tax money of $2,000. Well, it kind of works the opposite for an LLC. As long as you're using that computer for business, you could buy a $2,000 computer pre-tax. In fact, the other benefit is that you get to spend all your money as much as you can in a business and write off expenses. And it may even put you in a lower tax bracket. You could literally have a business and maybe not even have much income, because there wasn't any profit after you'd spent all this money on stuff that you needed for your business. At some point you're going to have to show a profit so that the IRS doesn't think that this is just a write-off scam. But there is advantages of becoming your own boss. I have another friend of my wife. He was a electrical contractor, I think a union electrical contractor, for many, many years, and did a lot of hospitals and big, big projects. Got fed up with his boss demanding too much stuff, and he left, and he started his own business, and now the guy's got five of his buddies that work for him. He's making a ton more money. He's got a lot more stress because it's his own business. But he's been starting out, and he seems to be doing very well. At least the wife's not complaining to my wife anymore about it. But I want to encourage people to start looking to do this. And you don't have to do this, pull a Jerry Maguire and say, I'm out of here. Start it on the side. Start doing something. And, you never know where it's going to go to. Problem solvers also are opportunity creators. And I can't tell you how many opportunities came out of me being a problem solver. This is where innovation and growth comes from, is these minds. And I want to encourage you guys, even though this may not, probably are, because if you're, we have a good portion of INTJs in this group. So chances are, if you're here, you probably, that mastermind set and a problem solver and that. If not, you understand the value of the trivium and grammar, logic, and reason. That's something that 99% of the people that you're up against don't understand. And if you could start applying the trivium to all the problems that you see in your business and your life, that's where the solutions are. And if you can combine this logic along with the abundance mentality, you'll see how these highly successful people own multiple businesses. You always see this, guy that's interviewed on Oprah, and, young guys, 35 years old or whatever, and he's got 50 businesses in multiple different areas, and he's got partnerships and all that other stuff. And they're able to do that because they've combined their logical ability to solve problems along with the abundance mentality. These people realize that they're maybe quick start people. I talked about this in the previous Silver Shield report about understanding where you are and how you deal with new information and how do you go about doing it. You know, as much as I'm a quick start, it's been a hard process for me to do all the minutia of creating and doing all this other stuff. But if I didn't have my wife, who is a researcher and a follow through person, I don't know where I'd be. I'd probably be a homeless guy with a computer blogging because I can't do anything else. And it's important to have a good teammate around you. So what are the excuses? You know, the excuses may be, you know, I'm too old. I'm not creative enough. I have too much debt, you know, this, that, or anything. Enough with that, because the change is coming. We know that this collapse, whenever it does happen, is going to be the big one, and that you need to start taking steps. So I put the four steps on YouTube, and the four steps are simply changing your thoughts, you know, getting rid of all these toxic thoughts, start doing more positive things, get rid of all the can'ts and shouldas and, you know, all this negative thoughts and start living a positive life. Get rid of the toxic relationships. That'll also allow you to think those positive thoughts easier because you don't have somebody else putting negative thoughts in there. But the other key to that is that you'll naturally find yourself surrounded by more supportive and positive people. And that's where the opportunities come from. That's where support comes from. That's where people start encouraging you and your talents and your ability to do this. They'll network for you. They'll do these things for free. And you can't pay for that. You know, and then the third step is get rid of toxic assets. I mentioned that earlier in this report. You need to get out of all paper assets. There's no ifs, ands, or buts or about it. Get that buffer of food. Get those, 30-round magazines while you still can. And then finally, when the time comes, when the opportunity comes, change your path, and you'll be able to do that. And once you get to this stage, the idea is that we're trying to get you to be this independent, valuable producing problem solver person that when the time comes, we're going to start attracting all these different people into, you know, this group or establishing a new community. So that was the end of my prepared statements. One thing I do want to kind of finish with is, you know, a lot of people have been asking me, Chris, what if Obama does an executive order and, outlaws these 30-round magazines or do all this other stuff? First of all, if it's anything like the old assault weapons ban, they're going to grandfather it in because they're not – like, I just don't think that they're going to go full turkey on this issue. I think they may play – go the gradualism step, try to get the assault weapons ban reinstated, make them difficult for new weapons to come online. But they're not going to go door to door to do this. They can't do that. The only thing that I think that they might be working towards now, and I put this in a video called, the answer to 1984 is not 1776, is that maybe the false flag is going to be some Alex Jones worshiping guy like I put on that video. I actually found a video of a guy that said he's going to start shooting people if he passes an executive order. I mean, guy puts it on YouTube and says that he's going to start shooting people. He's going to be the first one to do that. That's exactly the kind of mentality that the elite would love to have. Just have some, you know, white guy with tattoos shoot, some congresswoman and some congress guy and shout 1776 or, some Alex Jones thing and get all these people wrapped around this. And that would give excellent cover for this administration and all these governors to just go bat crazy on doing this. I believe that another reason why you need to move out and move on is because you need to get out of these blue states now. I'm even considering moving from Ohio to Texas to be closer to the Mint, but also the network of people down there, but also the mentality that I cannot imagine Texas ever in any future going towards this, getting rid of all guns and type stuff like that. You need to start surrounding yourself with people who have the conscious mentality understanding the Constitution and knowing where the lines are. At no point do I recommend any violent action, though. And when I've even said my line is this in the sand is when they come for our guns, that is for defensive purposes. And even I'm not that stupid to start thinking that some police officers come knock on my door asking for guns that I'm just going to start shooting them. It's so much easier just to play stupid. I mean, the whole country is stupid. Just like I recommend that you don't keep your silver in your house. If it gets to that point where you maybe have a magazine or a gun or something that's not on the approved list, you be wise to go bury that for the day that you may need it. But it's so much easier to say that you lost it, you don't have it, you don't know where it is, you don't even know what they're talking about. You were on drugs for 3 years, you had alcoholism, your neighbor stole it or borrowed it. I mean, there's a bazillion stupidity things, and that's exactly what these bankers do every time they get in front of a testifier. I'm not sure. Just pull a Corzine, and that should pretty much do it. I mean, even the people who what happens if they go door to door like they did in Katrina? Well, shit, they weren't out there with metal detectors and, gun sniffing dogs. I mean, these people either offered it up or resisted, causing them to look even further. But these guys are covering a lot of ground. They're probably understaffed, tired, bored. They may only pass through once. I mean, geez, welcome them. Oh no, we don't like guns. We saw Waco or, whatever. Just play stupid. And, I think that you'll be fine. And that same goes with the precious metals. I hope by the time that, they go, they start really regulating or make it very difficult, maybe we'll make the mint private and, not have a retail front on it. Maybe we'll have our bank, where we can have a private bank where we can transfer silver amongst ourselves, and maybe that will help our communications. Who knows? All I know is that we're always going to be ahead of them, outthinking them, because we have the ability of logic, grammar, logic, and reason. I think that should cover it for today. I will be down at, Dallas, to go look at the mint, make sure everything's going good down there, get them back up to speed, and, I should have another report for you next week. Thanks.